like everyone, I've been very aware of a very discomforting societal, cultural atmosphere. It's been going on for a long time, but the last few weeks have been particularly unpleasant in terms of secrets coming out of people. Mostly in this society right now, it's sexual harassment. But it's becoming so pervasive, and such important figures in our lives are suddenly being revealed to be lesser people than we may have imagined them to be. Or maybe we always knew this was how it was, but it just has always been socially kept under wraps. But whatever it is, it's muddying the atmosphere in some fundamental way. Also, it's revealing something probably essential in our world, which is that we all have secrets. We're all walking around with our secrets. We're all trying to pretend on some level that we're normal, that we are kind of fine as we are. At least some of us are trying to pretend that. But underneath, there's this sense of something hidden. And I was walking around the airport the other day, and I told Blanche, I said, I looked at every single person, including little kids and old people. They were all hiding. There was all stuff being pushed into corners and basement closets and all of these issues that were making it very hard for people to live real, honest existences. Because there's such a sense of fear-based reprisal that society will condemn us for the stuff in us that is not societally acceptable, that we don't want people to know how afraid we are, how we don't believe in half of what we're told, how we are living a life of a given set of rules by other people that are not our own rules, that are not our own sense of how to behave in life, that we would rather be otherwise. I watch my grandson Elijah, whose claim to fame now is all of the poses he can hold that are like Spider-Man, and his empowerment. And we went to a Thanksgiving dinner the other night with a lot of new people, and all he wanted to do was pose, to let people know who he was. And I kind of was looking at everybody was quietly doing that. They were all trying to find their little Spider-Man pose that will let the world know their sense of self. And in a way, you know, every one of us is equally insecure in the world. And we're all playing the game of we know that we're only expressing a portion of ourselves to the world around us. That if we were to display the totality of our being as we know it intellectually, egoistically, we would be full of shame and full of fear and full of doubt and full of insecurity and weakness and unknowing and all of these things, these that populate human lives. And it's really kind of awful on some level, that we walk around in such dysfunctional ways and yet maintain a veneer, of course, of quality and awareness and knowing and comfort. And it's not easy to puncture. It's not hard to puncture any of that. But most of us are pretty well armored. We're pretty well held together by various forces, even many of us believing in them. I mean, many of us believe our familiar self is really kind of okay. You know, we got it down. We got the basics in play. We're doing well in the world. We've got all the stuff that the world sort of responds to as either successful or presentable. We live these lives of wonderful fiction. And either we believe our own fiction or we don't, but mostly they're fiction. Because truth is hard to support. Truth is unbearably vulnerable. Unbearably vulnerable. Truth is we don't know anything. Truth is we're adrift. Truth is we don't know where we're headed. We don't know what tomorrow is. We don't know what the next minute is. We're all terrified of that. We're all believing that it will be fine. We're all hoping that the familiar will keep us embraced by a sense of well-being and everything is okay. But at any minute, you know, the wildfires can start, the earthquake can come, you know, on and on. We all know that. So we hold this very fragile arrangement of how to function in a world that is wildly unpredictable and in which our security is being challenged every second. Most of us evolve an illusionary idea or a delusional sense that everything is fine, and if it's not fine, it will be better tomorrow. It will get better because something will happen. This wonderful positivity, and it's all good, and we'll get there, and we don't betray that very much, and so we walk around in a state of assurance based on kind of nothing other than that yesterday was good, today is okay, and tomorrow probably will be okay or better than yesterday. And so we have this envelope of protectivity. When you shake that envelope, when you destroy the assurances that you've lived with your whole life, that's when truth starts to show itself. One of the things I'm experiencing becoming an old person, becoming a retired person, is that all the definitions that I have had, or most of them, are starting to crumble. And all the things I have hung my hat on are no longer there. You know, in the end, Shiva takes everything away. And it takes it away with you watching. And it can start early, it can start late in the game. But at some point, it really starts to happen that all of the familiar tropes of your life do not support you. And that's very strange. It's truly strange. It's like you don't know who you are. What are you doing every day? What is your modus operandi? Why do you get up? Now, most of you don't have this yet. Most of you are still, you know why you're getting up in the morning, what you have to do and where you have to go. And, you know, you got to make the money and you got to get the food on the table. You got to do all this stuff. And I have elements of that still in play. But mostly they're starting to erode dramatically. I don't really have to do anything. I don't have to even get up. I could stay in bed all day long. There's nothing motivating me externally. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have any reason to function in any particular way. And yet, there are these driving forces that are pushing me forward. And I believe they're in all of us. And it's hard to fully grasp what they are, other than that they are what I would call life force. The life force, moving us into action as opposed to inaction, because inaction ultimately is corrosive. Inaction leads us into diminishment, to dissolution, to death. Action is life at work. Action is propulsive. It is positive in nature. It is leading toward an unknown, but it is leading. You all know, I think, I get up and I walk. I walk every day now now it's becoming almost like 2 hours a day, which seems like in the old days, how can you waste 2 hours walking? What are you doing? I mean, it's like, how much time are you trying to put into supporting your health, you know, and your life and your physicality? It would be so nice to just sit around and watch TV, I suppose. But I am impelled by this urge to walk. And then, as you have all been listening to my talks, I have started seeing things as I walk, like beauty, like the unexpected, like sunsets that melt me, leaves that are falling off of trees with a kind of gentility and a kind of nobility and a kind of loveliness sitting on the ground, just kind of blowing around. The other day they were literally figuratively dancing on the ground. The wind was blowing them everywhere and they were just swirling, and there was the biggest party I ever saw, and I was like, I want to be part of that party. And then it said, you are part of that party. That's what you are. You're the witness and the being that embodies that party. And it's extraordinary. And then, you know, I come home and I'm, you know, a lot of the times I babysit, and now that's changing because my babies aren't becoming babies anymore. They're getting to be people. And one of the worst things about becoming people is that a lot of weird stuff starts to emerge. You know, as people, we have these strange behaviors. All the perfection that you see that could be there suddenly becomes limited by the imperfection of reality. You know, it's so powerful to watch all of these transformations taking place. And my grandson Elijah was my last kind of hold on, you know, why I need to be here in the world. And he doesn't care about me anymore. He loves Anne much more than me and much more than Blanche. He's becoming a different person. And I'm watching him leave me, and I'm going, oh, what do I have left? What's left? And I keep thinking, well, am I taking photographs? I'm taking pictures of beauty. And then I'm going, who cares about these photographs? Who cares? Anne and I are creating this website, and she's doing this amazing work, and we're going to announce it. It's going to publish it, I guess you'd call it, sometime next month. And I want to share this stuff, but I don't think anybody's going to look at it. And I go, so, okay, grandson done. Granddaughter's already into the world of boys and other things. You know, the photographs, I love taking them for me, that's fine, but who needs to see them? Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I get out of bed? You know, I really love peanut butter and jelly on a piece of bread. I really love it. And that's kind of pulls me into getting up, you know? I'm a little bit curious about the news, and then I say, well, why are you looking at this crap? You know, it's so awful. And then I don't want to look at it, and so now I don't look at the front pages anymore. I just look at the entertainment sections of newspapers. I don't really want to watch television anymore. I don't really want to watch movies very much, although I have to as a member of the Academy. I watch movies, but I'm going, oh, God, although every so often we see a really good movie, and I go, that's worth it. You know, and a good movie is one that shows me life from an angle that I hadn't seen before, and it has no superheroes in it. You know, it has texture, it has quality, it has reality, truth, it has a moment of something that goes, yes, and then it's just like walking. It's so beautiful to be in the presence of somebody who has a new angle on this amazing thing we're all in called life. But I am really arriving at a place where it's just all evaporating, that there is no reason left to be. It's really wildly uncomfortable. On the other hand, what I am learning is that uncomfortable and discomforting and feelings that are completely unknown because I've never had them before are part of something that is going on. There's something that is transforming. It's something that is evolving. And when you start to go into new stuff, when you really go into new stuff, it's not going to be familiar. It's not going to look like, taste like, smell like, or feel like anything you've ever known before. And if you're not ready for that, you're not going to like this journey. But all I can tell you is you have to look at the transformative reality of expanding consciousness and say yes to the absolute unknown, to the purposelessness, to the directionlessness of your own existence, and go, okay, what is this? And I was coming to teach class today thinking, oh my God, this again. Teach class again. You know, I tell you, I never know what I'm going to talk about. I never know what's going to happen in the class. I don't even know why I come. I sit down here, and then the minute I sit down, everything explains itself. Everything explains itself instantaneously because my heart just goes wide open, and it just says, this is why you are. You are here. It has nothing to do with you. There's no you. It has to do with what is. It has to do with loving what is. It's a profound love. It is a love that is uplifting, uprising, expansive, vast beyond description, and it wants to flood down into this manifested world and reach out into people who have gathered to get it. And it wants it so badly. And it feels so connected, and you feel so vibrantly alive, and suddenly everything is explaining itself. And that this newness, this emptiness, this discombobulation, this sense of crumbling and falling apart is part of the whole. Because until there's nothing left, this thing is still having to be moved through a system. Suddenly, as you really get broken into nothing, there's nothing systematic about it. It just pours through. There's nothing familiar or comfortable or easy or knowable about what's going on, but it is happening for you, for you, for you. I don't know how or why, and it's not limited to this being. It's happening for you so that it can happen for others, because we are the force in life that begins to look down into the deep, dark, unknowable, secret part of our being and discovering that what we don't know is this. The secret is what we are not conscious of is ourself. That's what's hidden. The secret is our own being. We are the secret of who we are. What we are is a secret because it is unexplored, it is unearthed, it is unknown, because we don't go there. If you have the courage and the willingness to go inside, open those closets, open those doors, go into the basement, dig deep into yourself, and see what's happening down there, spread light on everything, just as light is now spreading around the people in the world around us, it's not comfortable. There are people walking around now who have had the light shined on them who are suffering like mad because their dark deeds have been exposed. I think the universe has done them a favor because it will reveal them to themselves. Let your own darkness be exposed. Let your own inner life be exposed. And what happens is you will start to fall apart. You will crumble. All the stuff you've been hiding will be in the light. You will be ashamed at first, and then you will go, but I am free of this hiddenness. I'm free of the secretiveness. I am myself. I am what I am. And you start to become very deeply rooted and connected to your being. And your being is you. This being just rises up from your belly. It rises up from your heart. It reaches out into infinite time and space. And then it touches this, I can't even describe it, this pure, loving truth that comes shooting back in and goes out to everybody, just out to everybody. And it's this breathing in, out. I don't know which is in and which is out, but it just breathes, and it sends love and life and joy and beauty and truth to all that is. And if you are not part of that process, if you are sitting there like this, why me, God, and worried and frightened and angry and all of that stuff, you will not get to participate in this unbelievable unfolding of the human psyche that we're all here to do. Every one of us is here to do it. We're not here to just make money. We're not here to procreate. We're not here just to build buildings. You know, we're not here just to live a life for the benefit of this little tiny psyche that we are. We are here because we are emissaries of infinite wisdom and time. Space is our own universal being, and we have the ability to channel all of that infinite, vast, eternal reality into the tiny moment that we inhabit. And what it does to that moment is remarkable. The expansiveness of it, the value of it, the, the embrace of it, the unknowability of it, the mystery of it, but at the core, the beauty of it, the truth of it is so essential. It's so essential, and it's what we're here for, and almost nobody finds it. So few people find it. And they don't find it because our societies are so misguided. They're so outer. They're so, you know, you watch TV. I watch Stephen Colbert at night. I watch the news before Stephen Colbert and, you know, pieces of the news. And I go, looking at these commercials, you know, like this is Christmas time almost. So now they're saying this new car will bring you happiness forever, you know, or this toy or this thing. And on the Christmas carols to sort of bring us into that little beautiful, happy old moment that goes back to our childhood. And you look at it after a while and you go, stop manipulating me. Stop it. The joy is deeper than that. The joy is not nostalgia. The joy is alive in the moment. The joy is the reality of your life, not what they're selling. And look, I know everybody knows this and everybody talks about it and we all feel manipulated. On the other hand, I watch these people lining up for Black Friday sales and how much money everybody's making. And Jeff, what's his name, Bezos is, you know, now $100 billion. What is this world that we're looking at and idolizing? What are you going to do with $100 billion? I mean, I hate to think about it. And you can't do 1 ounce of what you could actually do by touching infinity. Touching infinity will bring more wealth and joy and meaning in the world than hundreds and billions of dollars. It's not about the material, and we all know that. It's about, and not even the spiritual, because I hate the word spiritual. It's about being in touch with this unexplainable, wise, caring, loving, open, sweet, compassionate being that you are. And not being that will cause you suffering. And the only way to be that is to sit still in the heart of hearts and say, please help me to surrender. Please help me to connect with my own self. Talk to the universe. Tell it you're here, ready and available. And I know anyone who's hearing this talk or sitting in this room knows exactly what I'm talking. You're here because you've announced that already. Keep it going. Because there are two rewards. One is the one you get for having made yourself available to all this, and two is the one that's reflected back at you from the people you share it with. The universe reflects it back. You're not going to know anything. You're not going to understand anything, really. It's not processed through the intellect. I'll tell you how it's processed. The entire expansion and awakening of the human psyche is a felt experience. It is not a intellectual thought experience. It's not an awareness experience in the sense of, oh, I get it. There is no one getting it. There is only this thing that is one with it and feeling it and moving with it and dancing with it and being moved by it and feeling what it means. When you dance with God, you are in perfect step, perfect harmony. You can't make a wrong step. It just tells you this way, that way. It takes you on this unbelievable journey, and it does it all day long. You know, yes, you can get crazy, and yes, you can, you know, get angry, and yes, you can get, you know, depressed, and I mean, all this stuff happens because there's a human psyche at work, but the underlying reality of it is always going to be there, and it will always awaken you, it will always come through to you, it will always give you what you need, always. So open the doors to those closets inside. Stop trying to hide from other people or the universe. Let me explain to you, we're all scared to death. We're all vulnerable. None of us have the answer. Humility is not something you should fake. It's a real condition. We were at this Thanksgiving dinner with a whole new part of our family we didn't even know existed that happens to live in San Rafael, which is really kind of interesting and maybe more than I can try to explain on on this talk, but I sat with these people and I didn't want to go to this evening. I didn't want to have to do the dance of who am I and what do I do and all that. You know, I don't even know what to say anymore. It just gets boring. But all of these people that we met were so real, so humble, so simple, so open. They're all having difficult times in life, or many of them are. They're all doing their best. They're all kind. They all went around the table to say why they were grateful, and every one of them moved me to tears. Every one of them was real. And I realized, you know, they weren't hiding. These people were not hiding. They were just being. And it was so simple and so lovely and so non-dramatic. And I thought, boy, I am so lucky to be in this environment. And then, of course, I realized, well, of course, you know, if you live a life putting out light, you will be surrounded by light. That's what it will be. Don't be surprised. You should know that where you are, there you are. It's in you and outside of you. It is all around you. And it's, excuse me, you know, this is the gift of a practice of silence, the gift of going inward instead of living completely in the outer impermanence of life. Go inward and find the permanence, and you will walk away from it, walking through the day, going, I get it. You won't even get it, but you'll get it. So, the stuff that's happening in the world around us right now is people starting to unlock the basement doors, or to have them unlocked for them. The shadow is showing itself. The darkness is revealing itself. This is not a bad thing. It's as uncomfortable as can be, but it's all for the best. Better to bring it all to light than to live in the hiddenness of our existence. Bring your own shadows into light. You don't even have to parade them around. Just open the door. And you will find a lightness of being that will be worth it. Any questions? I will alert you, it's not an easy ride, but it's the best ride. It's really the best ride there is. And it's not to be taken lightly, because it's full of responsibility, it's full of demand, and yet it is utterly empty and without meaning, and yet every step is full of gratitude. Explain that. Thank you guys for coming. I'll be here next week. We will be here next week. We're trying to figure out the month. We'll let you know. So we're going to be in LA for part of the month and here for part of the month. So we'll keep you in the loop. Thank you.